It's the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses. This is the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses.
I'm tired of being like tough Demi. I'm tired of like being demigod. Like demigod is like a shield, and there's another person in me. There's layers to me, and I've been so embarrassed of them for no reason, like my whole life, wanting to just be strong and tough. And this is about me embracing that side of me and showing that side of me and knowing that it's okay.
Did you know demigod was a shield all along?
I didn't even know what demigod was. I didn't know that that was her nickname or anything officially, but I suppose it was.
I feel like I've seen Queen Demi more in the Twitter sphere, but
you know, I'm realizing I'm not that deep into the actual other social media of Bachelor Nation.
There are whole accounts that are like, I'm in love with Dylan. This one,
I know, see comments on everything. Because some of them follow my Bachelor clues, and I'm always like, oh, okay, that's a thing. I just mark it off in my mind like,
Hannah
that exists.
And Dylan is an Instagram account, and I'm like, what is the...
It could just
why?
Be an algorithm making them, though.
I saw there was one that was just the crabs. Just devoted to
the crabs. I'll
follow
that one. I'll follow the crabs.
It did remind me of you. Maybe in an homage.
Well, anyway.
There was like a few seasons ago, Bachelor Clues did a lot of crab work and like.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if
something
we need to get
retribution.
Into a retrospective of Bachelor Clues, early years, the crab phase. I don't know if we need to go that deep into this. But
anyway, more importantly, we have our first Bachelor in Paradise contestant coming out, essentially.
Yeah.
Which is huge.
It's a very important moment in the record of the show. Certainly what it is doing culturally. It's so pervasive that now we finally have something that seems like it may be catching up to the times.
I think when I first heard this was going to happen, I was a little worried that it was some sort of publicity stunt, but now I don't know. I totally believe her.
Yeah, I do too.
I'm very confused because I thought that you told me that she makes out with one of the twins.
I don't know if I said that. There was something that I saw that made me think it was true. I don't know what that was, though, and I have no memory of saying it to you.
I feel like we've seen her making out with some woman, right?
I don't know. In my head, yes. I think I can see that shot.
But we wouldn't both make up that shot, right?
I don't know.
I feel like I've seen that shot, too.
I don't know. The show does so much in promos to trick you and fool the mind.
Yeah.
That's
how
they keep control.
Every time. I've been watching this for fucking, what? Oh, God. 17 years?
A long time.
Yeah.
It's been a piece of
I've been
life.
Watching this show for 17 years, and they still trick me with the fucking promos.
So we don't know who this mystery lady is, but we do know that Demi came out.
She's only told Katie, and then she told Derek, the guy she's seeing.
But everybody seems completely fine with it, and it seems to be a cathartic moment, and it's sending the right message to anybody out there who's watching this show.
It's like, oh, yeah,
you gotta
it is
be
2019. Yeah, they're like, oh, yeah, you're bi. Okay, cool. This has just never happened on The Bachelor, which is how behind it is.
It's a good thing that Demi came out.
Yes, we agree. Then she has this very weird conversation with Jordan, which seemed like the scene was planted or like the producers were like, you guys just need to do this. And they like narrate everyone else on the beach and like make jokes about them.
It was a little comedic moment. I thought that was played very well by both of them. This falls under the category for players to kind of use their strengths, be the funny one. It's proof positive that if you are the most entertaining, if you can turn a joke, if you have a funny disposition, they're at least going to give you screen time doing funny things. It's a surefire
way to get
screen time.
They literally, the thing that Demi and Jordan are setting up, and Demi literally says, oh, we're the new dynamic duo, and they're basically like the colorful narrator role in this episode.
And they were funny, I thought. I enjoyed it. I'd watch
I
a
enjoyed
TV
it
show
too.
With them.
I mean, I enjoy Demi. So first off, very early in the first episode this week, I had my Jorge Moreno Bystander of the Week award.
I bet it was probably the same one that I had. Who was it?
Sometimes there's only one candidate for these categories.
That's right.
This week, Mine was Jorge Moreno.
Mine too.
He came back for Nicole's date and showed her and Jordan the specific spot in the jungle. This is where I lost my virginity. And I loved it.
It was fantastic. Virginity is obviously a huge issue in the Bachelor franchise. It's something that some people hold sacred. Some people are derided for. Some people, a bachelor throne and crown are built around the idea of it for Colton.
Sean Lowe was a born-again virgin.
Does that count?
I mean, they talked about it a lot.
Colton was a legit real virgin.
And Luke P. was a born-again virgin again. That's right. But they made a huge deal out of Becca Kimball. Is that her name? Same with Ashley I.
Was
Ashley
not a
I has built a fucking franchise on her virginity. Oh. Hannah reveals that she and Blake had a relationship before the show that they haven't talked about the entire week that they've been there. And Dylan was like, I feel like I should have known that. No shit.
This brings me to my M, 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 V, 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 P, 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 and my play of the game. Game, game, game.
Oh, shit.
It was, of course, Blake. And his play of the game is actually preseason to Bachelor in Paradise. It was DMing Hannah on Instagram and saying, hey, I think we could be the next couple on the cover of People Magazine, Us Weekly, what have you. Why don't I fly down to your hometown? We'll hang out. We'll see if there's a vibe. And then if there is, maybe we can explore it in Paradise and go straight through. He did the best strategy. And granted, Blake planted a few seeds, and some of them grew into weeds, but one of them now is growing into a beautiful blossoming rose.
I mean, Blake has definitely planted many seeds.
This week, he was my MVP hands down. Not only did
he was training the hardest during preseason.
Absolutely.
Jesus Christ.
He understands more than probably anyone else on that beach that this game never stops. It is constantly being played. It doesn't matter if you're on one of the shows or not. The players all still exist. The rules are all still in place. You need to be in each other's Instagrams. You need to use Instagram to get your numbers up through the other players' numbers, and also to connect with them.
You have to go on the festival circuit.
And he also then disappeared in the second episode. He pulled a disappearing man, which is fantastic for a guy in his position who is now embroiled in a love triangle and all this drama, and he's just trying to lay low. Whatever he was doing, they did not cut him into this episode. So, hats off to my MVP, Blake.
The moment I knew that he was just after Instagram was when Caitlin was like, oh, he thinks, like, for my image, we shouldn't talk about this. Like, planning out what you're going to do in Paradise, that's acknowledging it's a game.
And when he was caught in the lie, his first reaction was, oh, my God, this is going to destroy my life. I'm going to have to go into hiding, he said.
He immediately was just thinking about the Bachelor Nation fallout. Tayshia got mad that Hannah didn't tell her about this, which is understandable because they were both finalists in Colton's season.
Yes, they were fantasy suite sisters.
And we get a new Bachelor in Paradise character who is not actually new. Dean, Deanie Babies, joins the crew. Got a new mustache. Chris Harrison, like, comments on this, by the way, which is... It was weird to me because I was like, oh, he commented on the other guy being pale. And he's basically saying, like, oh, you need to have this standard body to enter Paradise and standard grooming.
Chris Harrison very usually uses the entrance to Paradise as a moment to kind of check the player before they walk in, to let them know, I'm in charge. I can make fun of you. I can treat you however I want. I can ask you any question. When Ashley Iaconetti entered Paradise, he asked her, so... have you gotten to third base yet? That's how he greeted her at what is supposed to be her chance at love. Finding a soulmate here in Paradise.
It does sound bad when you say it like that. Yesterday, we saw Caitlin go on a date with Mike and ditch Cam. Now she goes on a date with Dean and, like, double ditches Cam.
Used him for his rose. Even had the forced makeout session with him just to secure the rose.
I'm gonna counter that with my error of the game. Cam's love letter. He gives her the out, essentially, in that moment.
If you're in a kind of shaky situation with somebody, never do the grand gesture. Never push it over the edge. Make them be the bad guy.
Yeah. That's what he could have done. And then he just mopes around for the rest of this. Cam has been playing the role of the fool. Well, he's definitely been portrayed that way. They show him knocking into shit and like... So now we have night one guy Christian comes in. Night one guy takes out Nicole.
This is a night one player. Why do they bring this guy in? If for no other reason than I think to give him the express mission of breaking up Clay and Nicole. I think these night one guys, as they're put, I think the producers send them in with a mission.
The producers probably have more power over night one guys as well.
For sure. You're getting a second chance. Make a name for yourself. Go make a splash.
Yeah, you spent all that money on going to The Bachelorette and you got sent home night one. But if you go provoke Clay or if you take Nicole out, we'll give you another chance.
You know what? I think they line up three night one guys and they put them in the hotel. What are you laughing at? This makes perfect sense. I think they line up. There's
three night one guys. Are they in consecutive hotel rooms?
I think they're in hotel rooms next to each other. But they don't know it. And they're sequestered in those hotel rooms. And they just got them on standby. And then they start seeing what's happening on the beach. See what's happening in Paradise. Ooh, she likes him.
I mean, I kind of give think me a night one that guy. Must be Get what it there. Does happen.
It has to.
I mean, I don't think they're all night one guys. But I think they do have like, oh, who are you into? Oh, we need someone to break up Nicole or whatever.
But those people are like from the bottom tier, you know? They're night one or night two guys at best.
Oh, yeah.
They're pawns in this game. The producers use them at will to wreak havoc on already existing relationships if they can.
I feel like that does happen. And then those people are gone like the next night or whatever. They're on it for like a day or two.
They go in. They're bombs. They just drop them. Sacrifices to Lord Harrison's dark design.
I wonder if Jorge owns the night one guy hotel now.
He's going to get there eventually, yeah. Where he's going to own that whole strip of paradise.
I mean, that would be a pretty good business if he just literally... I mean, that is kind of what he does. He gives people tours of the Bachelor in Paradise sites, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm happy for him.
Me too.
He does not have that many Instagram followers. He has 49,000.
You know what we need to do? We need to make a trophy that's the Jorge Moreno Bystander of the Week Award and send it to him.
An actual one.
Yes. Oh my God. See if he'll put it in his Instagram.
We could put that on the Instagram. The Jorge Moreno Bystander of the Week Award. I followed him.
I follow him as well.
Did I say this? Clay said, you have Sydney, her role is the utility player. Clay said that Nicole had three one-on-ones, and he said, Bachelorette doesn't even get that.
Yeah, more recognition that this is game. Clay. In both these episodes, Clay recognized the game being played. In the first episode of this two episode, why are we watching two fucking episodes of this shit per week? Per fucking week. 4 hours we are watching this shit and then dedicating... Oh, fuck. I just have to get over it. Fuck it. We're there. We're living in the bottom of the fucking pit now. We're down here. Fuck it, right? We're not trying to climb out anymore.
It's come that time in the podcast. The darkness comes to the surface.
It truly does for me. It truly does. I can't help it. At a certain point, I'm just like, what am I getting out of this? Do I enjoy this? It's so compulsive at this point that there are times when I'm like, fuck, I don't want to make memes for this fucking thing. And then I do it anyway. What in the fuck is wrong with me? Have you not experienced that?
I think we've jumped off. We've gone in and now it's like you can't really turn back. You can't turn back.
You can though. We can turn back. Yes, that's possible.
Turn back.
This podcast is still like new. We're figuring it out. I'm willing to indulge it some more, for sure. But at a certain point, we have to not do anything with The Bachelor. Think about that.
We move on to Love Island.
Oh my God.
5 days a week.
How dare you?
5 hours. 5 hours a week.
No. No.
Try to recap that shit. Oh my God. I do think it's a better show than this. Oh, here's where Nicole tells Clay to get jacked up to like stand up to Christian. Clay is literally acting how you should act in this scenario, though. Nicole is asking Clay to basically take away like one of the best qualities about Clay, which is that he's like this gentle giant and he just like is very protective over her and other people. She's asking him to give in to his worst instincts, like Christian, the other guy she goes out with, who basically says that he like owns women and is giving, allotting her time with Clay and all this shit the first day he met her.
Yeah, she certainly seems to be stoking his aggression or attempting to. And that's kind of been a theme in Hannah's season and now on Bachelor in Paradise, is women that like violent men.
That now we come to my MVP/play of the game. We both did double MVP play of the game, by the way. John Paul Jones, a.k.a. Young Romeo, recites a beautiful Shakespearean monologue to Tayshia. This is where John Paul Jones needs to pull it out because the girls are giving roses and there's way more guys. He needed to shed his stoner vibe and show her he had layers. He doesn't just talk like that. He's intellectual, she says.
But none of that's real. The producers are like, we want you both on the show next week. You guys partner up.
I think Tayshia is very smart, is a very smart player.
Me too.
And I think that she knows that you should just stick with one person. And I think that's what she'll do.
Me too.
I could see them lasting a long time. John Paul Jones seems like he would just go along with anything.
Absolutely.
Like another week in Paradise is great. Down the river. Oh, he says one of my favorite quotes. Another aspect of his MVP status. Sometimes when something's too good to be true, it ain't.
He's right.
Maybe not as important as the Demi coming out quote at the beginning of the episode, but it's up there. So Clay comes and does exactly what Nicole told him to do, which is to get all jacked up and have the masculinity overflowing. When he comes to ask for more time from Christian, who has her on a daybed. How'd you feel about that moment, Bachelor Clues?
Christian's response is verbatim. I'm not going to let you take her. This in the same episode that Bachelor Nation had its first bisexual player reveal her identity. How far have we come and how far do we still have to go?
I mean, the show is just like JPJ. Very layered. The show does support men's ownership of women. I mean, the asking the dad for proposal permission is...
What about the close-up shots of diamond rings like they're fucking treasure? Like it's the fucking Home Shopping Network. Then they put filter effects on it to make the rings like gleam. They make it look like a commercial for these things. It's horribly misogynistic, horribly racist. Every episode. Here we are doing a fucking podcast about it.
I mean, you gotta make your sparklers sparkle. I think there's a fetishization of engagement and marriage just in the culture.
And that's 100%. The wedding industry is a billion-dollar industry. I guess, though, I mean, fuck it. Like, some people just like that. Why should we care?
Because it's bad. It's bad for women.
Anyway, another cheery episode. Yeah, it was disgusting. It ended on a very down note for me. And then Jordan went over to throw the pinata. He saw an opportunity to recreate one of his signature moments from last season.
I mean, he's an excellent player. That might have been my play of the game, actually. Destroying the pinata. It's something that you know is going to be shown. I mean, maybe he gets physically injured from this move. I don't know. But
even better.
Jordan knows what the show is going to air. And he creates it for them.
I wonder if he'll play it so that he gets beat up, goes to the hospital, and has to come back with a Band-Aid of some kind. Coming back with injury in paradise is sometimes a good strategy.
That's how Evan got engaged. He has 370,000 followers and 1.5 babies.
I can't wait till all their babies start going to Stagecoach. Hey, wait. Before we go, before we sign off, what's the dwab at? I'm talking about the D-W-A-B-B.
Well, how many days without a Black Bachelor?
Yes.
6,350.
6,350?
D-W-A-B-B.
And counting.
Days without a Black Bachelor.
Until next week.
Praise be Lord Harrison.